This podcast is made possible by supporters like you. Mahalo. And by Atlas Insurance Agency, Hawaii's largest professional agency, helping Hawaii navigate insurance solutions since 1929. More at atlasinsurance.com.
Aloha mai kakou. Welcome to a new episode of What School You Went? Start every conversation with that question. I'm Ron Mizutani. And today we're talking story with a man who wears many, many, many hats. DJ, television host, actor, teacher, author, and his most important role, dad. His students at Marinol School call him Mr. Bulatao. But you may know him as Cut Master Spaz. I want to welcome my dear friend Derek. I cannot say Derek, bro. Sorry.
What's up, Spaz?
Spaz, welcome to the program. Welcome to PBS Hawaii, my brother. Good to see you
Good
here.
Good to see you.
So, like I asked all of our guests, what school you in?
Castle.
Oh, you're a knight.
Yeah, K-A-S-S-O, Castle. H-I-S-K-U, high school. Nah. Oh, people get mad and all these. I went to Castle High School, James B. Castle High School.
Yes. But that was back in the day. That's what people would say.
Castle. Yeah, we'd say Castle. But now it's like, don't say that. It's improper. And I may get canceled, so I'm not going to say that.
No, too late. You're on record saying them. It's like back when we were young, you know, it was always Kamehameha.
Right.
But everybody would call Cam
School.
Cam School or Scam School.
Oh, I didn't know. I didn't know Cam School. It's Kamehameha.
Yeah, it's Kamehameha. But hey, welcome. I got to ask you, brother.
Yep.
Sing me a line from your alma mater.
I said a hip hop. The hip. I don't know.
You don't know your alma mater?
I know.
Are you serious?
I'm not joking.
It hasn't been that long from high school.
It has. And you're digging deep, Ron. Yeah, Ron. No, I wasn't. People think I was homeschooled. I think they call it cutting back then. I knew it was going to high school was. I guess I had to take that trip just to get to where I wanted to get to, which was out of high school. So yeah. I went to high school. I did the work, got the credits, and that's it. I didn't really participate in much. I didn't go prom. I didn't do a lot of things. I didn't play sports. So I went there because I had to go there. Yeah. So I wasn't, you know, like all invested into high school. I just wanted to make sure I had to do what I had to do.
What you had to do. Mm-hmm. Interesting, yeah, because, you know, I've had other guests on the program, Andy Bumotai. Mm-hmm. I asked what school you went. Well, he went to Waianae, but he didn't graduate from Waianae. You know, what school did Pohaku Stone? He went to the School of Hard Knocks because sometimes school isn't what everybody needs in life, but some things that you have to go through the process, and that's what you did at Castle.
Yes.
Castle High. You know, you and I go way back.
Yeah.
And we could talk story about all kinds of topics. And your story has been shared in other forums and media. But I want to touch on some things that make you who I like to know more about.
Okay.
And that's you, the deep down inside guy. And what makes you tick and why? I mean, you are such a giving man. And I'm not saying that because, you know, we're trying to make this look good. I look at you eye to eye, my friend, and you're a giving soul. Where'd that come from?
I think growing up my dad was a giving person. He would give, to help people. And as I grew up, I remember my dad saying, never forget where you come from. No matter how big you get, you make sure you give back to your community. If you don't have community, you don't have nothing. Mm-hmm. So I always, when I was in a place where I could give, I would. And it would not necessarily money, but making programs, competitions for kids to come out, singing competitions, breakdancing competitions, DJ competitions, anything I could to give a platform for up-and-coming youth to find their passion or find their place in the world, I did. It was just in me just to give and volunteer my time. It's just, I don't know, I guess it's in our household, that's what we did. We just give.
That's a learned, to me, that's a learned skill. Behavior is people have to be taught that, how to give back, and having a example like your father, I'm sure, instilled that early in your life. But you've had many obstacles in your childhood and some adversity that you've had to overcome. Share with us your childhood.
Well, from when I was born, I lived in Kaneohe, and it was a small community back when I was being raised. And so I had neighborhood friends. We'd have sleepovers, go parties together, or have potlucks, or birthday parties, hang out at the park and stuff, up until I was nine. And when I was in fourth grade, I started falling back in class, and I had a hard time keeping up with the rest of the class. At that time, they did not have a really formatted special ed program, but they had that budget for special ed. But that budget consisted of putting a bunch of us, seven of us, in a room divided by books. There was the physically and mentally handicapped, now they call them the socially handicapped, on one side, and seven of us on the other side. Now, the other six, they got bussed in on the short yellow buses from Kailua, Kahuku, Kahalu, and I was the only one that lived in the area. So I walked to school. So all the people, all the kids in, all the classmates saw me in this class, and they would, they were like, whoa, he's now crazy, you know, mental. And so they stopped hanging around me. So at 9 years old, I lost all my friends. I wasn't invited to parties anymore. I was picked on, bullied. I wasn't allowed to play with what I thought was friends. The messed up part is that it wasn't even necessarily the kids. It was the parents saying, hey, no, hang around him. Like, it's contagious. Like, oh, you can come like that if you hang around him. So the kids were scared to hang with me because they thought basically they were going to, come like me if they hung out with me. So I lost all my friends, like all the people I hung out with. I was by myself, just not able to do things with people, not, able to even walk on the side of same side as the street.
Wow. That's heavy, bro.
Yeah.
That's
so heavy. I was all alone, and I felt really down and kind of, 9-year-old, lose all your friends, you put in one class, you don't understand. And so, yeah, that was a hardship for me. That was really a lot to take in.
Was it, you were diagnosed? Dyslexia.
See, here's the thing. They didn't know. I didn't understand. Yeah. So on my certificate to get me into this program, I was mental retardation. That's what it says on my certificate, my school certificate, that I'm mental retardation. That's what they put it as. You can't say the R word anymore, but I'm being honest because that's what we do here. They didn't know until I was in a sophomore in high school. They didn't put a specific label on it. They didn't know I was dyslexic until I was sophomore. And wow. It was teachers that a teacher, actually Greg McCall, I was sophomore writing, reading at a sixth grade level. So in high school, I was reading at an elementary school level. And a teacher goes, dude, are you dyslexic? I go, what is that? He goes, your D's and B's are backwards and S's are like Z's. I don't know. So he had me tested for dyslexia, and he found that I was dyslexic. Later they found I have, of course, ADHD. Well, they found that was one of the first things, that I had ADHD, and I had to take medication in middle school. So they knew that I was hyperactive. And then I also had dyspraxia. I was like, what is dyspraxia? Well, it's when you don't know your left from your right, so you're uncoordinated. So when you walk, I cannot judge corners of tables. I trip over my own left leg. So that explained why I was clumsy. My dad used to always yell at me when for dropping dishes or hitting things over. But later in life, I found that I can't help that. It was something. So it wasn't until my sophomore year of high school that I realized I was dyslexic. And my teacher was able to help me get on the path because they know how to treat it. When you know what the illness is or the sickness is or the disability, they can help it. So by my 12th grade year, I was reading and writing as a senior.
Wow. So you caught up in a hurry.
Yeah, I caught up. I had to. Believe me, it wasn't easy. Like I said, that's why I told you from the beginning of this, I was just there to do the work, not partake in all the homecoming and all the kind of different things, because what takes someone one time to do, I have to do three times. So if we have to read a book for class, I have to read a book three times to understand it.
Okay. Brother, I know you don't want to hear this, but I apologize. I didn't know all of that backstory when I asked you to sing your alma mater. Now that I hear this part, and I've known some of it, but not to the degree that you have to overcome. My apologies for that. Love you, bro, for that, for your honesty and transparency. But you found calm in music.
Yes.
Early.
Absolutely.
Clarity.
I've said music has saved my life.
Yeah.
In elementary school, we went to a dance. Well, in the cafeteria, we had a dance, and there soon everybody could come. And they had a DJ playing. And I went in there, and of course, like I said, we're not going to dance with anybody because nobody wants to dance with us. And so I just watched, and I watched the DJ as he played the music. He played hip-hop music, and everybody's throwing their hands in the air and waving and going, ooh. And they play rock music, and people like jumping around, like almost like a mosh pit, getting excited. Then he plays a slow song, and everybody's all lovey-dovey. And I was like, wow, this guy is like a maestro of the people's emotions. That's what I want to be. So I ran home at 10 years old. I told my mom, Mom, I'm going to be a DJ. She's like, what? She's like, yeah, I'm a DJ. She's like, okay, you know that DJ takes equipment, takes turntables or whatever, instruments or mechanical devices. We're not rich. How are you going to do this? I was like, oh, okay. She's like, you got to come up with a plan. So that's where I got my business sense from. My mom said, you got to put a plan in place. Because a dream without a plan is just a dream. So I said, okay, what can I do at 10 years old to make money? So I became a newspaper boy, which I don't think they have that anymore. But I delivered a newspaper for 5 years. Meantime, I took my mom's and dad. They had the old big turntable made out of wood. And I used records. And my dad was mad at me because I would like try to mix and scratch Donald records, Sicilian Capone.
Oh, vintage.
Tiny, but bigger. And they're like, what are you doing? You're scratching a record. Yes, I am.
Yes.
So I'll get that. And then anyway, I saved my money.
Well, you went through some needles too back then.
Yes. I we didn't have the internet. So you had to go, so I started going to dances, not to dance or hit on girls, but just to watch the DJ, what they doing. And that's what I did because we didn't have, you go there in person. There's no internet, YouTube. So I'd watch the DJ, what he did, and I'd go back home and mimic that, go buy those records. But I was able to, you know, save up money. By the time I was 16, I had $10,000 that I saved up from working. I delivered newspaper to a 15. When I turned 15, I could get a worker's permit. I worked at Zippy's. That was my first, I guess, real job. Then steam clean carpets during the summer. And by 16, I had $10,000. Now, I know that doesn't sound like a lot, but back then it's like 100 grand.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That's 100 grand now, you know. So I was able to buy equipment. So by 16 years old, I had my own DJ setup and company. I guess I was an entrepreneur. I didn't know what that word is or was, but I started DJing parties and stuff like that, and then I had to figure out how to market myself. So that's how I did it. Now, the reason I say music saved me is because I feel if I did not find that passion, that I probably would have done something really, really horrible. And I talk about this in my book that I wrote, Sped to Success. But at 10 years old, I remember I had a bad day. And I got yelled at by my teachers. My dad yelled at me. And I just felt like, you know, this world would be a better place if I wasn't here. And so I went home and I thought to myself, I'm going to end it. Like, that's all. And it's sad to hear that a 10-year-old would do that. But I was thinking to myself, if I'm not here, I wouldn't be teased, I'd be bullied, it would be the end of that. So I sat there in front of the mirror and I was trying to think how I'm going to do it, because I don't want to take pills because I don't know if I take – I don't know how much to take. I don't want – you know what I mean? Then I didn't want to like slash my wrist because I'd get my mom's sheets dirty. So I sat there in front of the mirror just crying, thinking to myself, I'm done. And I heard his voice. And, you know, some people might say, God, I do. whatever it was, your own, the universe. But I heard a voice clear as bell say, "You're destined for greatness." I was like, "What is that?" Like, I heard it. I could hear, like, speaking to me, "You're destined for greatness." And at 10 years old, and it was just like opening a book or watching a video and seeing my life that it's going to be great. Like, I'm going to be destined for greatness. I'm going to change people's lives. I'm going to make a difference. I'm going to be a light for many people. I just got to overcome this hump. So I never, ever thought about taking my life ever again, from then on. And I just pursued my passion of music. And so I think part of the giving is that moment when I know that I have a gift to give, and that is helping the youth find their passion.
Beautiful. Wonderfully said. And again, Trent, thank you for your transparency. You had a purpose.
Yeah.
And thank God you listened.
Yeah.
Because a lot of people who get to that point, whether you're 10, 20, 50, we hear about suicide all the time.
Yeah.
You know, we talk about it. It's kind of a taboo subject, but I don't think it's a taboo.
Right.
It needs to be spoken.
That's why I brought that up, because I wanted to be honest and transparent and tell you, like, I did go that route. I was beaten. I felt, if anybody out there is feeling that way, know that there is a way out.
Yeah.
You know, you just got to search for and listen, like you said.
Yeah, listen, but also talk. Mm. And as a friend, you say, "Hey, I noticed something."
Mm-hmm.
You know, open yourself up to that channel of communication. So, gosh, I could go in so different, so many different directions, because you wear so many hats today.
Mm-hmm.
I want to get into a space that, because it involves your DJ name.
Okay.
So, Cutmaster Spaz.
Yes.
How did that come about, and why did you go there? And then today that has a different meaning, but we'll dive into that in a bit. But Cutmaster Spaz, what was that story?
So the name Spaz was one of the tease names that I had from some boys saying, "Oh, you're such a spaz, you know, mental spaz, you know." And I mean, there's other names: Bubblehead, Fat Boy, White Boy. So when I became a DJ, I wanted to pick something that would always remind me where I came from, never forgetting where you come from. You know what I mean? Always reach for the sky, but keep grounded. So I took Spaz as a name. That was one of the tease names that I was teased, because I was hyperactive and, you know, ADHD. And I took Spaz. So I was DJ Spaz. I won a DJ battle called Master of the Cut. And I'm dyslexic, so I didn't want to call myself Master Cut Spaz. I took Cut Master Spaz. And I spelled Cut Master with a K, because if you spell it with a C, although it's the correct way to spell it, Cutmaster with a C, if you spell it that way, you're spelling it wrong. And then now you know how I feel. All my life, I'm dyslexic. I spell things backwards wrong. So if you spell it with a C, you're spelling it wrong. Like, oh, now you know how I feel. So I spelled it with a K, Cutmaster Spaz with a K. So to kind of like a little joke that, hey, if you spell it with a C, you spell it wrong, even though you think you're right. Because that's how I feel all the time. I think I'm right. Like, what's wrong? Like, oh, you're spelling it wrong. Like, oh, my gosh. So that's how I got Cutmaster Spaz, is a name that I got from my experiences.
Wow. I did not know that side of the story, brother. And so you've ran with that. Your businesses have grown. You dove into this and that, and you turn that into a brand.
Yes.
And today it's still a part of who you are.
Correct.
Even though you're a teacher who everybody knows as Mr. Bulatao, which is your real name.
Right.
Right. That brand is still very much alive.
Yes, I get students going, "Oh, my dad knows you. My mom knows you." I'm like, okay, how? It's like, oh, you're on the radio, or you're Cutmaster Spaz and stuff like that. And it's funny, because I get people all through my career, especially when I was younger, "No, what's your real name?" I'm like, "Cutmaster Spaz." Like, "No, what's your real name?" And I would just look at them and say, "Okay, I tell you what, write one check for $500, put Cutmaster Spaz on them. We'll see how real that name is." Because that's my business name. Yes. I can cash that. I have an account under Cutmaster Spaz. So that's real as it is. And so, you know, I always, and that's the thing, I always respect people. No matter how young, how older, I give them respect. They want to be called Kickstand. Hey, what's up, Kickstand? You know what I mean? Because that's one thing that always bothered me. Like I want to be called Cutmaster Spaz or Spaz. And people just refuse, like, no, I'm not going to call you that. Like, but that's what I want to be called. It's like saying, oh, what's your name? Oh, my name is Bob. No, I don't want to call you that. I want to call you something else. Like, that's just kind of disrespectful to me. So I'm always about being fair. And like I said, if you want to be called Iron Man, hey, what's up, Iron Man? Nice to meet you, you know. But I do know, Ron, as you mentioned, that Spaz is a bad name. It's a canceling name now. Beyonce removed it from one of her songs because Spaz is a bad thing. But I'm not calling somebody Spaz. I'm calling myself Spaz. Now, I want to say it's grandfathered in because I had that name way before it was a bad thing. Spaz represents my trials and tribulations that I've gone to. The teasing, the heartaches, the struggles I've gone through. And, you know, even though people think it's a bad name, but I'd be happy to explain to anybody. One, I'm not calling anybody Spaz. I'm the Spaz. But Spaz has done more than Derek has ever. I tell people this all the time, that as Cutmaster Spaz, I was able to raise money for different organizations. I was able to make a difference. I have letters. I have a whole storage of letters from parents and students that said, Cutmaster Spaz, thank you for what you've done. Cutmaster Spaz, you made a difference in my son's life. Cutmaster Spaz, I look up to you because of what you did. Cutmaster Spaz, thank you for your story. They didn't say Derek. Derek didn't do that. I couldn't do it. I couldn't help myself as Derek. I was teased. I was bullied. I was picked on. I couldn't do anything as Derek. As Cutmaster Spaz, I was able to help generations of youth and families and organizations, nonprofits, to be the difference. So when somebody says, oh, you know, you kind of use Spaz because that's, I'd be happy to sit down and explain to them that Spaz has been a name that has helped people. And that saying that I can't call myself Spaz because they feel it's a cancellation name, you know, I don't mean it in a negative way. It's been a positive. And I always use this that, you know, Jesus, when he was the carpenter's son, nobody believed in him. And when he became Jesus, the prophet, oh my God, he could do miracles. He couldn't do, you know, in Nazareth, he couldn't do. And that's how I feel as Cutmaster Spaz. I can do miracles, but Derek Bulletow, I couldn't even help myself, you know? So Spaz means a lot to me. And it's my brand, like you said, it's my world. It's what I've done to help people. So I just wanted to put that on there on the table to explain if I do get canceled after this.
You won't, brother. No, you've told that story. It's the story of you, and it's who you are, and it shaped not only your professional life but what you mean to the community today. And you mentioned it briefly. You know, you're giving back, and it's like, I mean, if anybody. You've touched so many different organizations, even the ones that I've been a part of. And that's how our relationship really started as well. But, I mean, we could go down the list of all the things that you've done. DARE, Diabetes Association, American Heart, Hawaii Food Bank, and even here at PBS Hawaii. You spin music for us at our trunk or treat. And all it took was, Spaz, what can you help me? And what time and where? You know, and that's just who you've been as long as I've known. What drives that part of you? Because, dude, when do you sleep?
I don't. I actually, it's funny you said it. I actually sleep probably 4 hours a night because then I'm always working, always creating. My mind's always going. So I sleep probably 4 hours a night and then I just go. But I just feel that my belief is, you know, you just give. Like it'll come back. It doesn't come back in monetary necessarily, but it comes back in other ways. When I give my time, and time is so precious to me because I believe that, you know, money, if I loan you $20, you know, give me that back. I can get another $20. If I lend you my cap, I can go buy another cap. But time is something you cannot get back. Once you lose time, so time is so precious. So I give a lot of my time knowing that it's precious, but it comes back. I can't explain. Like I don't expect. I tell people, if you're going to volunteer or give your time, don't like, okay, when am I getting out of this? What's the benefit? Mm-hmm. Like, am I going to get more friends? Are they going to like me more? Or am I going to get whatever paid? If you can give your time, give with an open heart, an open mind, open spirit. Like, I'm giving this to you guys as a gift, and I don't expect nothing in return. And if you come with that, I promise it. I can't explain it. I'm always blessed. Mm-hmm. I'm always blessed. I mean, a lot of times I give my time to organizations, and I get blessed by another organization, or somebody says, or, you know, and not that I do it for that, but people go, hey, are you available this day? My daughter's getting married. You know what I mean? Would she love an MC like you? So, you know, I'm not doing it to get gigs, but it comes. It just happens, you know. Hey, can you do this for us? And, you know, and I know this is not paid, but we can pay you here. And I can't explain. And like I said, I don't do it expecting, okay, what gigs can I get? What connections can I make? I just do it because I want to give back.
I believe that.
And it just happens. It comes back. I meet people that are influential, or opportunities make themselves available mm-hmm. after I give. And, you know, sometimes not, but like I said, I don't give to get back. I give to give honestly.
That's part of your servant heart. You know, I think I might have shared this before, maybe even on this podcast. My youngest son, one day we were at the old Macy's in Kailua, and Tutu was walking toward the door. And I had instilled, I guess, enough value in him to understand that role to open the door without being asked, prompted. I was like, oh, right on. He ran in front of the Tutu, opened the door. She walked right in. I was certainly behind him. He said, wow, Dad, she didn't even say thank you. And I said, pause right there. Mm-hmm. He might have been like 8. Mm-hmm. And I said, did you open the door for a thank you? Mm-hmm. Or did you open the door because you knew that was the right thing to do for a kupuna? Oh, I opened the door because she was a kupuna. Never forget that. Because that's being servant.
Absolutely.
You're not looking for a thank you. You're not looking for a gig. You're not looking for kala, money, payoff, you know, honorarium, whatever.
Right.
You're just doing it because that's who you should be. And I believe that to the core, that's who you are. Good stuff. I want to... couple more things, and then we'll wrap it up because you and I could talk story all day.
Yeah.
You're an author. You wrote a book, or you had your Kamoho, The Chameleon Plays Hide and Seek, brother. And that was such a beautiful story. But that story was about who?
Me.
You.
Yeah.
Tell me about it.
So I was writing a book. First book was Sped to Success, which Sped is a play on word for special ed to success. And my good friend, business partner, Kelly Marotti, she said, you know, I know you're gearing this to middle and high school, but you got to go for younger, like kindergarten, first grade. And I'm like, what? Like, what? She's like, would you be okay if we worked on books like children's books? That's her heart. I said, sure. So she took a story or two out of my Sped to Success, and she adapted it to make it more kid-friendly. And I think the first one was Hide and Seek. It was Kamoho Plays Hide and Seek. And this is a true story of me going to the park and finally seeing these kids who accepted me and said, you know, you want to play hide and seek with us? I'm like, yes. Like, okay, you're out. Count to 100. So I count 1, 2, 3, you know, count to 100. I'm like, sir, you know. And when I got to 100, I went looking for them, and they were gone. Like, oh, okay, ditch me. All right, I get it. But I locked my bike to the fence, and when I went back, I guess they had a tool. Somebody had a wrench or something. They took apart my bike. So at 9 years old, my bike was in pieces. I didn't have no tool, so I had to take my bike and carry it home in pieces. So the place Hide and Seek, it tells you a lesson of, you know, you're not going to always be accepted. You know, that things happen. And so that's what that book was for, to, I guess, teach kids empathy. Like, oh, how would you feel if that happened to you, you know, or what would you do? And you make them think at a young age. So that's how those books came. And then we did another one, Kamoho Doesn't Like School. And it's talking about me being dyslexic and I had a hard time to read. And it was a tribute to my teacher, Ms. Watase. Mm-hmm. She became Mrs. Aikido. I've been searching for her for years to tell her thank you, but I wrote this book, and it's how she had empathy and patience with me and taught me that it's okay that you're dyslexic and you have a hard time reading. So these books, these children's books, are meant to just start at a young age. But my main thing is the Sped to Success is 23 chapters of life lessons, of things I've gone through, periods, and how I dealt with it. But we came with two children's books. The illustrator, unfortunately, she wanted to, after she did two books, she's like, I really don't want to do this anymore. I want to do other stuff. So I was like, okay, I don't know what to do now, you know? So we just ended that. We were going to do 8 books. That was a goal, to do 8 children's books. But we ended up just doing 2, which can all be found on Amazon. Now, if you're wondering why Kamoho, my name is Kamoho Ali, my middle name, Derek Kamoho Ali Ibulatau. And Kelly is a jokester. She's like my jokester person. So I don't like geckos. I don't like chameleons. I don't like lizards. So guess what? All the characters are geckos. Come hold the chameleon, because she just thought it was funny. Like, yeah, great, okay. But that was her joke. That's her own running joke. Like, you know. But so yeah, that's why those books were created, because we wanted to go for a younger generation.
You know, that's when you learn empathy. Mm. Right. And some of the keiki that you encountered, not to no fault of theirs, because guess what? Empathy is learned, taught. Yeah. Mm. And if you don't have the right teacher, parent, right, instilling those messages early, you're going to get folks who tease, who bully. Right. And you were on the receiving end of
right.
that. So the empathy, a lot of us missed that lesson early in life, you know. I could probably say that I was a bully when I was young. You know, so I sit here looking at you eye to eye right now, going, I'm still learning about empathy. And you're a walking billboard of what empathy looks like. So
thank you.
You mean a lot to me.
Thank you.
I hope you know that.
I do. You are one of the true friends. I appreciate you.
You know, Mr. Bulatau,
yes.
I'll never call you that again, brother. Spaz, because you'll always be Spaz to me.
Yes.
And now that you've shared this with our What's School UN audience, and you've been very transparent and open, I want to let you know that I'm glad. I don't want to get emotional. I'm grateful that you answered that call at the age of 10, because you are destined for greatness.
Thank you.
And you have given yourself in such a loving and giving way. Thank God you answered that call.
Thank you. Thank you.
Because you've touched many lives, brother.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Yeah. Never forget that. Your legacy is, sometimes people say, oh, my legacy is, oh, I was a newsman for 30 years and whatever. Your legacy, you're still building it. Mm-hmm. Now you're giving back at Marino, teaching young, thriving and people who want to look into the world of media. Yet you're still answering my call. And I said, well, can you come to Pro Ridge and help us spin some music? Thank you. Mahalo nui.
You're very welcome.
Yeah. Much love to you.
Thank you.
Continued success.
Yes.
Cut Master Spaz. That's with a K.
Yeah.
Because if you got a C, you're spelling it wrong.
Ooh,
boy. The tears are real, brother. The tears are real. Mahalo nui for joining us, folks. If that doesn't give you chicken skin, I don't know what does. Join us next time, another episode of What School You Went. You never know who's going to stop by. Until then, ohi ho.
What School You Went is a PBS Hawaii production. Music by Taimane Gardner. If you enjoyed this episode, let us know on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, and tell your friends. You can find us on pbshawaii.org and everywhere you get your podcasts.